Today's reading comes from Luke chapters 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was there and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Thank you. Thank you, Isla. As I said last week, and was abundantly clear, there's nothing new to see or hear. Okay, so don't be surprised if what you hear today, you say, "But Anthony's already said that." Whether it was last week or the week before or 2 months ago, yep, I've said it before. So what I'm about to say, I've said before. And if you haven't remembered, that's on you. Okay? See, I was checking to see if anybody was paying attention. But let me begin with this quote from Walter Brueggemann. Because salvation is a big word. Salvation is one of those words that we use and say, salvation has come, we're saved. But what does it actually possibly mean? And how do we put that into words? Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament theologian for many, many years. Salvation is deliverance from any and every circumstance or any negative power that prevents full, joyous, communal existence. That's pretty big. Deliverance from any and every circumstance or any negative power that prevents full, joyous, communal existence. That is maintained in the connection to the real life. So it can't just be an out there kind of abstract idea. It's an idea that is lived. A lived reality where the terms for salvation have their primal setting, their main setting. In other words, it's concrete, it's visible, it's experiential. It's something that can be, everyone participates in salvation. Not just I've had my salvation and you've had yours, but your salvation is intricately and inextricably woven in with mine. Now, salvation is a story that goes way back and begins in the Old Testament, and the threads of salvation that we see in the New Testament have their genesis in the beginning of the Old Testament and through the story of the people of Israel moving out from the oppressive hand of the Egyptians. So when we come to this story, at the end of the story of Zacchaeus, and Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." And typically what we believe and have been told and what we think is fantastic. Zacchaeus has repented. Zacchaeus has repented. He's been a mean, nasty, spiteful, short little man. I don't know what that's like. I mean, I've been mean, nasty, and spiteful, but just haven't been short. And Zacchaeus has met Jesus around his dinner table, and around his dinner table, Zacchaeus has had a transformation. And we say, hallelujah, praise God, Zacchaeus has been saved. Because that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus has repented. Zacchaeus has changed his mind. He's had a change of heart, hasn't he? Except he hasn't. It's not necessarily true. I don't think it's Zacchaeus that's had the change of heart at all. In fact, there's no evidence to suggest that Zacchaeus repented. The word repent doesn't occur. Even the idea, the possibility that, yes, but he did these wonderful things of acts of generosity. Did he? Did he really? Let's explore that. How's your Greek? These are the words that are used in Luke 19. This is the Greek from which we receive everything else. So if you say, yes, but in my version of the Bible, whether it be the Good News Bible, the King James Bible, the Holy Version, the J.B. Phillips, whatever version of the Bible you have, the Greek supersedes it all. I'm just letting you know, this is the background, okay? And these are the two words that are used when we hear Zacchaeus speaking. And what's translated, and this is what I use, the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, more often than not, because I've been told by wiser people than me, more learned people than me, that it's the best version for the most part. But here it gets it wrong. I know, it's shocking. And we should be shocked. Zacchaeus says in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. In other words, I'm going to do it. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Now, that's a lot of money. So we're dealing with a very rich man here. If he can pay back that much money and still have something to live on. But it's not what the Greek says. There's no, it will happen at all. What the Greek says is, I'm already doing this. These two Greek words, didomai and apodidomai, one means I give and one means I restore. And my understanding is, I could be wrong. If my father-in-law was here today, he could have corrected me. But he's not, so maybe it's a good thing that he's not. There are particular Greek words that you would use if you wanted to convey, I'm going to do this from now on, I will do it from now on, or I have been doing it from now on, or I used to do it, but I don't do it anymore. There are all these different variations of the Greek words that mean the nuance is changed. My understanding is the Greek story says, I am already doing this, Jesus. In other words, I may be wrong. But what I believe this is happening in this story is Zacchaeus is saying, Jesus, these people that are standing there grumbling that you're having dinner with me, their complaints aren't justified. Because if I do defraud anybody, if I make a mistake, look, he's a tax collector, so he's already on the side of the Romans anyway, so he's on a hiding to nothing. But he says, if I'm doing something wrong, if I make a miscalculation, if I get it wrong, I'm already paying back. I'm already acting fairly. I'm doing what is just. I mean, if you paid tax and they said, oh, actually, we've got it wrong. We're going to pay you back four times the amount. You'd be pretty thrilled, wouldn't you? No? Oh, okay. I would be. I'd be ecstatic. I'd be ecstatic if the ATO ever said that they got something wrong. Or the banks said that they got something wrong. And they said, wow, we've made a mistake. We're not only going to pay you back what you have lost, we're going to pay you back four times as much. That's the salvation story. Zacchaeus is saying, A, they're complaining about nothing. B, I'm really generous. Jesus. So this story of Zacchaeus being the epitome of people who have a transformed heart because they meet Jesus, which gives us great joy because this is why we want everybody to meet Jesus, you see. We want people to meet Jesus so that they can repent, so that they can be better people, so that they can be more generous like us. Except they're not generous like us because we're a bunch of complainers and whingers. And every time somebody whom we think doesn't justify meeting Jesus rocks up, we say, why is Jesus hanging out with them? What does Jesus think he's doing? And we're not Zacchaeus. Sorry to disappoint you. We're the grumbling town folk who have got nothing better to do with our day than point out the great travesty and injustice of Jesus meeting people that he shouldn't be spending time with. No amens, no hallelujahs, okay. Today, salvation has come to this house, so what do we do with that text? What do we do with that text where it says, but Anthony, salvation has come to this house, for this, he too is a son of Abraham. Yes, he is. Amy Jill Levine, who's a, and this is, she's a fantastic scholar, and done a myriad of work as a pastor and theologian. But she's a Jewess, as my understanding, Jewess working in the New Testament. So a Jew who brings Jewish understandings and insights to the New Testament. And she writes that salvation as the restitution of the man to the community. Salvation is the restitution of the man to the community, which occurs when he states what he actually does, rather than what the crowd think he has been doing. And this is from a commentary, Amy Jill Levine and Ben Witherington III have a dialogue about how they perceive the text. Ben Witherington III says, oh, look, you can read it that way, but it's probably more likely that he will do this from now on. I side with Amy Jill Levine. I think the bigger story, the better story that we have got to tell, the more grace-filled story, the more joy-filled story, is that the community wakes up. And it's the community who all claim, where, to use our modern parlance, but we're Christian and he's not. And Jesus comes and says, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, he's a Christian too. And the Christian group say, oh, okay. So to use the biblical language, the story language we have, the crowd are saying, well, we're sons of Abraham, he isn't. And Jesus says, it doesn't work that way. He too is a son of Abraham, stop excluding him. You don't get to pick and choose who gets to be the son of Abraham. It's not your choice. It's not your prerogative. You don't get to say who's a better Christian. And I know we all do it, don't we? That person's salt of the earth. And we use that expression. They're a real Christian, as opposed to the pretend one. Who gives us that charter? Nobody. Salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus is sitting there eating meal with Jesus, and Jesus looks around and sees people stand and says, you know what? This man's one of you. Stop excluding him. Yes, he has a mongrel of a job. He's a rich man, certainly is, and he's working for the enemy. Yes, he is. But he's one of you. He's one of us. He's holy. He's sacred. Hands off. That's a much bigger story, that the town gets saved. Why would you go and tell a story where one man gets saved? That's nothing. Jesus says the whole town gets saved. Why are we telling that story? Where a whole town all of a sudden have this block removed from them, and the Spirit of God is poured into them, and they say, we get it now. Now, I know we all have stories of being excluded, where people didn't treat us right, and we felt ostracized, put down, unfairly treated. I get that. I've got enough of my own. And God says, that doesn't matter. You know what the kingdom is like. You are in the kingdom. You know what it's like to not be part of that. Can you find a way to open yourself up to others? And so a simple question for us today is, with whom can we share salvation? With whom can we share salvation? Not, well, we're looking for people like Zacchaeus because we want the rich, generous ones who pay us back four times as much. I think you missed the point then of what salvation is like. If we go back to Walter Brueggemann, salvation is deliverance. That means you don't go back from any and every circumstance or any negative power that prevents full, joyous, communal existence. So with whom can we share salvation? Not so that they become like us. This is not that story. Not so that they come to church. Not this story. Not so that they can have their lives transformed. No, it's not that story. You are holy people of God. That is gospel truth. With whom can you share that they too are holy people of God? Because they simply are. And all the problem has been not their actions, not their attitude, but that we've had the blinders on. And we haven't seen them truly. I reckon that story of our salvation is a much bigger and a much better, I mean, not we want to make comparisons, because I know comparisons are odious. But why would we settle for something small when something much bigger at play? I don't know. With whom can we share the story of salvation and participate in that joyous communal existence? That's a really good question. Communally, individually, with your family, with your friends, in your neighborhood, with whom can you share the story of salvation? And maybe someone's trying to share the story of salvation with you and just waiting for you to wake up too. We're going to sing an Easter hymn.